I don't see you eating any more of it.
Diana complained once more that she wasn't feeling well. Dwayne one-upped that he was dying. Amy slammed her fork on the plate and began to pick up her Eversnap bowls, but stopped. She turned cold. She felt their presence, like some magnetic polarity shift against her flesh. They started softly. Diana and Dwayne drew still as well. Then the alarms grew louder, banshees running rampant through the suburbs. Several sang closer. Dwayne was to his feet and already out of the kitchen. By the time Amy and Diana had joined him, he was peering through the plastic blinds in the front room. It was still light enough to see, but only barely. Six cars drove into the street and blocked its thoroughfare. A small female officer stood at one blockade. A tall man took up the other. Several more rushed the front yard across the road. "It's Paul," Dwayne said. Diana started for the front door, but Dwayne restrained her.
"Don't assume they'll wait to hear you out," Dwayne said. "Remember Torres. Wait for them to come here."
Diana loathingly agreed and returned to peering through the blinds. The officers moved towards the house across the street from theirs. They knocked, knocked again. When a thin man in his 60s answered the door, four officers forced their way in.
"Did they find it?" Amy asked.
They continued to watch in silence, barely breathing. Minutes passed. The thin man stumbled back out of his doorway, his hands cuffed. He screamed, begged, tried to run back to the house. He fell. The russet Albrecht upright piano squirmed from within the house, following two officers. The antique dropped over the lip of the entryway. Its hidden strings screamed for mercy. Its spruce soundboard cracked. The maple frame snapped along the top edge. The officers continued to push the object out of the house until the other side dropped, crying even louder than before. A front leg sprained and its brass wheel popped like a tiddlywink out into the street. The officers grouped behind the piano and bullied it out over the front steps where it fell and regaled one last requiem, its own. The skinny man screamed. Tears appeared to fall from his lips. His face turned red, then blue from the inability to breathe through his torment. Two officers approached the piano with sledgehammers. They drew their heavy black heads and let them fall against the Albrecht's flesh, and they continued to let them rise and fall until all that remained was a pile of splinters and steel strings. Paul was released and cited for operating a piano in a noise-enforced zone without a license, and for promoting anti-STEM values through simply owning it. The officers broke away from each other and set towards the neighboring houses.
"Here they come," Dwayne said.
The three returned to the kitchen table and began to sullenly pretend to be eating their dinner. The doorbell chimed. Dwayne stood and walked to the front door, opened it, and greeted a stern officer who was two heads shorter than he.
"Sir," she said, "we're just checking with the residents in the area. Do you mind if I ask you some questions?"
"Well, we're having dinner just now."
The officer pressed her way into the house.
"Were you aware your neighbor had a device of artistic design without a permit to offend?" she asked.
"You don't say," Dwayne said.
"You never heard him playing?"
"No, can't say that I did. Di?"
"No," Diana replied. "Never."
The officer pressed into the kitchen and seemed to inspect the dinner. Her eyes fell on Amy.
"You both live here?"
"No," Amy replied. I live next door."
The officer spoke into her headset to let other officers know that Amy's house was empty.
"We need to search your home, ma'am."
"I beg your pardon?" Amy asked.
"With one device in the area, it's quite possible others may be around as well."
"You don't think a band, do you?"
Amy asked in forced shock.
"In our town?"
"They often operate in groups,"